Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. The Earth has been called the third rock from the sun, and it's a fun conceit, but it's not remotely true. There are millions and millions of rocks, large and small, hurtling around the sun along with us, a lot of them found between Mars and Jupiter in a place called the asteroid belt. Of course, most of these asteroids float harmlessly out in space, at least as far as we're concerned, but some, a few, end up on more hostile trajectories.
This computer-enhanced radar image from Houston shows how the detonations...
All right, I know you were expecting that cut of Morgan Freeman from Deep Impact there. We could do that, but here's a deeper cut. How about this gem from 1979?
15 minutes from now, the Russian rockets will be launched. And 40 minutes after, our own rockets will be sent to join them. They will strike the meteor, sending it into a harmless orbit. Nevermore to menace Earth. It is Sunday. Stay in your homes. Have faith. There is nothing we can do but wait. We will let you know when the danger is past.
Now, you have to be a bad movie buff to know that that's the movie Meteor. The idea here is the Cold War. What better force to make the Earth's rival American and Soviet tribes set aside their differences and come together than a giant asteroid threatening to destroy the Earth? Well, spoiler alert, the Americans and Russians put all of those nuclear missiles to some productive use at the end of Meteor. Well, it doesn't have to come to that. You should know that some of our planet's citizens have a plan to deal with hazardous asteroids. Dr. Kerry Nugent is one of those scientists known to the rest of us as asteroid hunters, and she's devoted so much of her life to mapping asteroids in our solar system, she's even gotten to help name a few.
So, for example, we named one after Sojourner Truth. That has the number 249521. We named one after Harriet Tubman and one after Rosa Parks. And that's really delightful. I mean, those are really wonderful women, and I'm very honored we can honor them in this small, slightly obscure way.
Well, there are still a lot of asteroids left to name. According to Dr. Nugent, to date, scientists have only discovered about 25% of the most threatening asteroids out there. Still, Nugent says they are predictable and trackable, and they don't have to lead to Earth-threatening natural disasters. Dr. Kerry Nugent is author of the book Asteroid Hunters, and she works as a staff scientist at Caltech IPAC. And she spoke recently with John Hockenberry.
I mean, the very interesting thing about asteroids is that their paths are very predictable around the sun. So it's surprising to most people to learn that you can predict where an asteroid is going to be, a well-studied asteroid, every single day from now to 800 years from now. We can really track these things precisely. And they're a much physically simpler system than things like earthquakes or volcanic eruptions or hurricanes, where there's just a ton of variables in those problems and it makes it difficult to predict far in advance. So it's an interesting system to study. And near-Earth objects are usually what a lot of people are really interested in because those are the ones that get close to us. And near-Earth objects have kind of three fates. They can end up hitting a planet, they can end up hitting the sun, or they can end up getting ejected from the solar system entirely.
So an asteroid which threatens on any level to hit a planet, let alone Earth, has been jostled into a near-Earth domain, you know, maybe thousands of years ago, something like that?
Yeah, or tens of thousands
Wow.
or millions. So it's all, you know, that's kind of the great thing about studying asteroids is that they're not changing their orbits very fast on human timescales. And so when you look around near-Earth space, and if you can map near-Earth space and find these asteroids, you can really, you know, do a solid map that'll be predictable for hundreds of years into the future. It's not going to change very quickly.
Now, aside from assuring us that we're fine, what else would you do with this data that you're collecting? And, you know, in a couple of hundred years, there's going to be a huge amount of data on all of these objects.
Yeah, asteroids are very exciting to study. They contain a lot of information about the earliest days of the solar system. Asteroids are some of the most what we call primitive material that's the earliest formed. And so they're exciting. You can study asteroids to learn about what the solar system was like before we had planets.
The asteroids that might actually become candidates for crashing into the Earth, again, you've said it's very rare. It's worth studying to prevent this eventuality. I don't know what we would do in a situation like that. I've seen a couple of movies that talk about it. What would really happen?
Well, I mean, to be clear, there's asteroids that are monitored, but there's no asteroids that are going on any sort of impact trajectory in hundreds of years. Nothing we know about. So what we're really doing now is searching to look for things that may get close to Earth, but nothing known is going to get close. There's a lot of different things you could do, and it would depend a lot on the particular asteroid. So asteroids are really different. Some are made out of rock, some are made out of metal. And they have different physical properties. Some spin incredibly quickly. They make a full rotation in 20 seconds, which is amazing for something that, you know, is tens of meters across. Some spin very slowly. And so your exact response would definitely want to be tailored to the scenario. And again, that's why we're looking now. We'd want to give ourselves as much lead time as possible. If it does happen, there is something headed towards us. Or perhaps we'll find there's nothing headed towards us, and that'd be great.
If it's not great and it's going to hit us and it's the size of, you know, 10 meters, 20 meters, 100 meters width, where would you want to view?
So it's great that you broke those down into sizes. In the book, I asked the planetary defense officer of NASA, whose name is Lindley Johnson. He has the coolest title. I asked what the different response scenarios would be, and they would depend on size. So, for example, for a 10-meter object, that's not super big. Perhaps that would break up into the atmosphere, and perhaps the best way to respond would just be to evacuate if it happened to hit over a populated area. Though in most, you know, most of the Earth is covered with water, so maybe you wouldn't even have to evacuate. Maybe you could just, you know, watch it come down. There's been a case of small asteroids that have been discovered and then predicted to hit the Earth a short time later. One of those events was an asteroid called 2008 TC3. It was discovered by the Catalina Sky Survey. And 12 hours later, it hit the Earth over the Sudan Desert. And that was really exciting because it was discovered, it was tracked, the impact location was predicted with enough time to warn the government of the Sudan and also to give a heads up to a couple of pilots flying a airliner. And they were able to divert and actually watch it go down, which is pretty cool.
And they saw a bit of a light show.
Yeah, exactly. And that was a very small asteroid. There was no, threat of injury to anybody. And so that asteroid broke up and had a, you know, beautiful explosion. And then some scientists went down and later collected meteorite samples of it, which was really exciting because that was the very first time we were able to compare meteorites that we could hold in our hand to what we saw out in space.
Have you gotten your hands on that chunk of something that landed in Ukraine, I think, or part of
Russia.
The old Soviet Union? Russia? It was Russia?
Yes, of course I have a piece of Chelyabinsk. Almost everyone I know who studies asteroids does. It was a really remarkable event. That happened in 2013, the day after Valentine's Day. And that was about a 20-meter-sized object, which is fairly small for asteroids. And it came in at a shallow angle, broke up in the atmosphere. And people were filming it with cell phone cameras and with dashboard cameras and traffic cameras. And so we have all this, like, amazing data on it. It was a pretty big event, but fortunately nobody was killed. Some people were injured, but there were no deaths.
Dr. Carrie Nugent is the author of Asteroid Hunters. She's a staff scientist at Caltech. Dr. Carrie Nugent, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
That's John Hockenberry speaking with Dr. Carrie Nugent, the asteroid hunter from Caltech IPEC.